What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Mac Effect. I really appreciate you guys tuning in, kicking off season 6 with a banger, guys. And like always, I'm always open and transparent with you guys, letting you guys know that I'm looking for good quality interviews. I'm not just looking for clickbait. I'm genuinely looking for good conversations to hopefully catch your interest, but more than anything, so that we can connect. I've always shared with you guys, the purpose of the Mac Effect is so that we can learn, grow, heal, develop, and just not be repeating the same things over and over again. So when it comes to this particular guest, I'll be honest with you guys. I reached out via Instagram, and a part of me was like, this guy's not going to reach back out to me. But God has been telling me, if you don't try, you just don't know. And honestly, seeing a couple of his videos, seeing some of the stuff, the content that he's putting out there, it's right up the alley of the Mac Effect. So I really appreciated that. And when I reached out, humble enough, amazing enough, the guy said yes. And we're even taking over his studio. So it is my great pleasure to introduce to you guys to another successful, great podcaster, a podcast that I'm sure you guys have heard called A Toast to Life, owner Luis.
Man.
Brother.
Damn. Whew. Man, hype me up, man. Yeah, appreciate you, man. Let's go.
Thanks for doing this for me, man. I really appreciate it.
No, man. Thank you for, one, coming all this way out and making the time and adjusting to my schedule because, oh, man, being a father, entrepreneur, 9-to-5-er, everything and then some, finding time, it's probably one of the hardest things ever.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And, you know, again, I don't know if you knew, but I'm kicking off season 6 with you.
Shush.
And
putting pressure, bro. Putting pressure, man.
And I was like, you know, like when I reached out, because I know your podcast has been a success. I seen a couple of your reels, your videos in general. And I love the stuff that you're putting out there. So a part of me was like, I don't think this guy's going to reach out. But, bro, I'm so glad that you did, man. I'm so glad that you did.
I always tell people that, you know, luckily that they reach out to me where I wish I had someone like me when I started, right?
So good.
Somebody that has a blue check, has over 100,000 followers or 50,000, whatever the case is, but has a platform and knowledge.
Yeah.
I always wished, I'm like, damn, hopefully they reply, hopefully.
Yeah.
And we did, we got a couple, but never to the extent of like where, blessedly, me and my team is at right now.
Yeah.
But I always tell them like, dude, I didn't think you would reach. I'm like, I look at my Instagram, bro. I'm the one that's looking at everything. So when opportunities like this help or and come, I'm like, yeah, why not?
Let's do it.
Whatever we can collaborate on, whatever we can learn from each other, I want to help and I want to at least give that. I would say not even, I wouldn't say reassurance, but a little bit like, hey, like it's going to work, bro. Yeah. Like I promise you it's going to work. You're doing it already, the hard work, which is creating the episodes.
Yeah, correct.
Season 6, that's insane. Yeah. That means you've been on it
for
already for a while and you haven't given up.
Yeah.
Other people don't even make it past episode 20.
Yeah.
So to do that, man, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you. And you're hitting it on the head, bro, because that's something that I've shared with my viewers, with my listeners all the time. I'm very open, bro. Yeah. This podcast was something that I had in my head for over 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And I never started it because I was just fearful.
Mm.
Fearful, fearful, fearful. It's going to fail. It's going to fail. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And just last year, in January, I started the podcast with one episode. And you can see the difference from the first episode to now. Like, I am building more confidence. I am building better. Like, I'm just more confident with the mic now. The first episode, I'm like, can you?
Where do I move? Yeah, man.
But I'm sharing it with the viewers. Like, guys, if I can do it, you guys can do it too. So, The reason why I wanted to bring you on board, bro, is because the little bit of the clips that I saw more importantly, like, a good heart. Thank you. That's what impacted me.
Appreciate that, man.
That's why I wanted to come and talk to you, bro, because I kind of want to know a little bit more about Luis. Like, you started your podcast, but now you have even a host, like, a consistent, like, staff in your team now. Luis, tell me a little bit about your background, like where you grew up, where you came from.
Man, born and raised in Little Baldwin Park, California.
Let's go.
For the people that don't know where that's at, the first ever In-N-Out Burger, That's where we're at. So grew up to two parents, Demi Chacon. I got two beautiful babies, bro. I am still 29, and man, I just said this today. 4 months, I'll turn 30. And this is year four of entrepreneurship, which is podcasting. And man, I come from humble beginnings, bro. I always tell people, I didn't come from a bad background, a bad life. They didn't have it crazy hard.
Yeah.
I had some struggles. I had some hiccups every now and then, but my real crisis was identity.
Yeah.
Who was I? Who
yeah.
am I?
Yeah.
Who do I want to be? And
what do we talk about, guys? Yeah. Like, those are the episodes. Like, I have episodes of identity, finding self-love, healing your inner child. So you're,
So, I mean, I'm the middle child. I have a little sister who is about to be an eighth grader. I have an older sister who is about 33, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me.
Okay.
So I'm the middle child, but I'm the only boy. So I work now with my dad. Been working with my dad for the past 7-8 years in pest control.
Okay.
But cool. I decided to do what God blessed me with this gift of a voice and passion. Started the podcast because I always tell people, I work with my dad. That's his business. He built it from the start up. He only knows what he went through in order to get there.
Yeah.
Now I'm going through that with a podcast, so I have to go through all those growing pains and everything. But, man, I've had a great life.
Yeah.
I can't I could definitely complain, change some stuff, but I wouldn't be who I am.
Yeah, that's absolutely. That's
bottom line.
So, till today, you're working with your podcast.
100%, bro. Social media, don't believe everything that's out there. I promise you. Like, we do great on podcasting. We have a great manager with us, puts us in the right positions. We're doing really good. Merch, streams. But I have so much time in my life. You know, I wake up 6-7 in the morning. I go to work with my dad for about 5-6 hours. Pick up my kids. Go coach. I'm at home with my kids. And then I'm free, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I get to be present. So I get to help on my dad. I get to help on myself. And, man, I think being busy, it's what keeps me sane. Mm. If I'm sitting down, doing nothing, laying down, haciendo nada, I have so many more thoughts. And I'm like, yeah, this is not good no more.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a learning curve for me. But there's a blessing, bro. It's being able to work with my dad and for him. Being able to coach, being able to do the pod, and just being able to be a dad. I'm blessed, bro.
Yeah.
Being busy, I love it.
Being a father, bro. I mean, you're talking to a guy that's a father of four. So I know how it can be busy with the kids.
Yeah.
How many kids you got?
I got two beautiful babies. I have my little son, Noah, who's a 5-year-old, and then my little daughter, who is 3.
Okay.
So
beautiful.
Oh, man, I'm going through changes.
Yeah.
You know, it's because everybody that gets into to entrepreneurship, it's at different stages of their life. I did it when I had a newborn. I did it. So I'm fighting being an entrepreneur, but being a dad. And then you get shitted on because you're trying to be you're not as present as you need to be. And then because you're chasing your dreams, you're so selfish. But in my head, I'm like, if I don't chase my dreams now, then how can I tell my kids to go and chase your dreams?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a hypocrite to them.
Yeah.
I'm going to lead them by example.
Dude.
So it's been a change. I'm not going to tell you it was perfect because I fucked up a lot. I'm first timer in everything. And, you know, I had bad people around me, bad environment. I got illusion with a lot of stuff. And at the end of the day, I never stopped being a dad. But I'm like, if I'm going to do this, it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
And so right now where we're at, I'm just blessed to be able to say I'm doing it. My kids get to see all what's happening and they understand a little bit more. And
love it.
It's been great, bro.
I love it. I love it. That's the reason why I wanted to interview you because I know, I mean, just I saw your post. I saw a couple with your son as well. And I'm like, man, this guy's speaking from the heart. He's not BSing. But, I mean, I love the fact that right now you're saying, like, look, life has been like this.
100%.
But I also have learned where it's like, it's okay for me to be broken and just be learning and just not repeating that same mistake and trying to figure this life of balance of when to do the podcast, when to work, when to be present for the kids. And it's okay that you haven't been present for your kids at certain moments in their lives. That's how I've learned, too, you know, where I mess up and I do things. But it's like, no, I'm not repeating that again and stuff like that. So you hit like a lot of things right now that I kind of want to dig into a little bit more as well.
Yeah.
But again, I just love the fact that you're being open. So, okay, two wonderful kids.
Yes, sir.
So that means my homie Luis is married. He has a family. Like we got a family together, right?
I don't have my family together, but I have a beautiful partner who is the most amazing mother to my kids.
Mm.
I would say, and I've never said it, and we just kind of talked about this the other day. If you don't have a supporting partner and a great mother to your kids, or at least a great support system, it is so hard to go out there and chase your own dream.
Yeah.
Right? Because at the end of the day, not everybody has an entrepreneur hat, and it's okay. Not everybody's meant for it.
Correct.
It's understandable, and it's hard to understand it when you're in the mix. But the moment you take a step back and you start learning more about your person, more about yourself, and more about the situation, they're not at fault. It's up to the entrepreneur, in my case, the man, to understand and to attend to everything.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I didn't attend to certain things the way I needed to, because I had this illusion of like, I need to be there, I need to do this, and if you're not going to help me, then I got to keep doing this on my own. And, you know, whatever the case is, I just have a great support system in the mother of my kids that helps me be who I need to be, you know? And I always tell people, if you're going to go out, do it for the right reasons, right? If you're going to miss time not being with your kids because you have to go and work, but then you're really not working, you're just making an excuse, then you're really fucking up. I'm sorry to kind of say it like that, but
true. But
she knows, and it's a clear understanding, if I pick up my kids every day from school, I go to all their soccer games, I go to all their sporting events, awards, whatever.
Were you always like that or no?
Yeah, I'm never missing my kids. Never leaving my kids for anything else or anybody else.
Where'd you learn that? Like, who taught you, like, hey, be there for them?
You know what? My dad was a hard entrepreneur. He came from an unloving background of, you know, I never met his father, my grandpa, but from what I was told, abusive. So my dad had a lot of learning to do. And my dad had the idea of being an entrepreneur, go drop us off at sports, but go back to work or just go and chill, you know, because he's never had that.
Yeah.
And I don't, at the moment, you know, growing up, I did blame him. So when I became a father, all I knew was I need to be the best father I could be for him.
Yeah.
And what I was missing growing up was having my father there.
The presence.
I've always had my mom. She's always been a soccer mom, a track mom, a football, whatever sport I played, she was always there for us. But my dad was the one that was missing.
Yeah.
And yeah, growing up in a Hispanic household, you know, you blame your parents of like, oh, you're never there, you hate me, da da da, you're not my dad. You go through this whole change.
Emotional intelligence.
It's exactly. Me growing up and having my own kids, going through entrepreneurship, I see him and I'm like, I understand you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't blame you no more. Like, I had so much resentment, but I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. My responsibility as a son is I'm going to teach you how to have that emotional intelligence when we need to. But even now, I work with him and I do the pod, but the podcast revolves around the kids. Unless it's like a whole job that we need to, we cannot miss a certain time, then unfortunately I can't be there. But if it's work with my dad and then my kids, I'm like, hey, dad, like, sorry, but I can't work. I'm going to go with my kids because they need me at the game.
Yeah.
And it's not even that they need me, like, for anything. They just need me to be there.
100%.
They just need to see you. They just need to see your presence.
100%.
Like, you being present, it's what changes their emotions. So
100%.
I tell people, I figured out my schedule, my life, to revolve around my kids, but also put my business first.
Love it. Love it. That I mean, bro, it's crazy. Like I never met you. You can confirm to the people. It's not like we've had a conversation before in the past.
I think only barely under a week.
Yeah. And it was just something that I felt like a connection where I said, man, like I come from a background where very similar to yours. A lot of resentment towards my parents. They were never there. Both my mom and dad were never there. So I'm like, I didn't know self-consciously. I'm like, I'm going to do what my parents never did. I'm going to be there for my kids.
Yeah.
Which I was doing it to be kind of like pity or resentful towards them. Mm. But then as you get older and you work or, you know, for 2.5 years, and I'll explain later, yeah, I was a stay-at-home father because it just worked out in my situation. The mom of my children, she was making triple what I was making. So it just made sense. If one of us had to take that step back, it yeah. would be more me than her.
Understood.
And let me tell you, that's a whole nother conversation because
yeah, definitely.
From a machismo Mexican Latin culture, it's like, what are you doing? It's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
Which again, we could go into that. That's another story, but I wanted to connect with you because I'm like, I can see it. Like, right now, when you're sharing that, I'm like, where'd you get this emotional intelligence from? Like, you understood my, I was resentful with my pops, but now that I'm in that position, and let's be honest, you're going to try to be there 100% of the time, but there is going to be that one or two times that you're not going to be there.
Yeah.
You're going to feel that little guilt, like, oh, man, I feel so bad that I'm missing their thing.
Yeah, like, I think the few times I miss my kid's soccer game, it's because either I was in Orlando with our brand that we're working with recently in Atlanta, and missing picking him up from school is because I was working.
Yeah.
And it's a tough conversation for me. Like, hey, I'm not going to be there tomorrow. Grandma's going to pick you up or so-and-so's going to pick you up. And they was like, oh, are you going to podcast? I was like, yeah, I'm so sorry. And I cry, dog. I really cry because I miss my kids. I love my kids. I love, like, a parent that loves their kids the way they need to be loved and deserve to gets emotional if they're not there.
100%.
Right? So now teaching my dad, teaching my mom, and my mom reminds me all the time about my kids, and my dad too. Even if he wasn't that with us, he was a present dad in, like, you know, supporting us financially, giving us a roof over our head.
Food on
you
the know, table.
As much as he possibly could, but he says, like, está bien, ve con tus hijos, be there. And I'm like, I appreciate that. So it's not that I'm doing this because I just don't want to work or whatever. It's like, I really love my kids. 100%. And me going through my emotional depression, anxiety, all the mental thoughts that I go through, I need to teach my son. I need to teach my daughter.
100%.
And the only way I can do that is if I'm actually there.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm not a perfect parent, but I'm a parent that's learning. And I learned very early on that no matter how you do things, no matter how you carry yourself, how you breathe, there's always somebody that's going to have a say in it. And my biggest thing is don't listen to the outside noise besides your own family.
That's right.
Besides
what works for you guys.
Yeah, inside your four walls, what's working for you, correct, what's working for you and your kids. And, you know, it's, I think one of our clips that went really good was, you know, your first child is the one that you grow up with. It's the one that learns with you. It's the one that grows with you. The growing pains, the hurtful pains, the moments where you think you're a bad parent. And they have that repercussion because you may have either fed them something that wasn't you're supposed to, or you maybe missed that you were asleep a little too long, or whatever the case is. But those are the ones you have so much emotional attachment to. Mm, and
so crazy.
You know,
so
my son's not only 5, and I already had said, I'm sorry, man. Like, I'm sorry. Shit happens, and I'm sorry it's this way, but when just know I love you.
Said, I'm sorry.
Oh, man, now a lot of times.
Now?
Yeah, now a lot of times but it didn't come from him. It came from me first.
Mm.
And it was because two head honchos going at it with each other, yelling at each other, who screams the loudest,
yeah,
who has the final say.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're right. I'm always going to be right. Yeah. And I remember it vividly. One time we had an argument, and it just got too loud. I walked away. And then when I was about to leave and I was taking my kids with me, and it was just like, I still stayed at my parents' house for a while, but I was about to leave home. My dad's like, ready, you know, like, you're coming from arguing with me. You're going to argue with me again.
Yeah.
He comes. He's like, it's okay. And I was just like, hey, I'm sorry. Perdóname. Hug him. And then he hugs me. And then he, like, all his weight just falls. Mm. And it was like, hey, I love you.
Boom.
And I'm like, I'm sorry. Te quiero mucho. I was like, ya sé que los alteramos bien mucho, pero
yeah, so good.
Nomás quiero que sepas que te amo. Yeah. Like, thank you for everything.
Yeah.
And we've had so many more amazing moments together now
yeah.
where we don't always need to say it, but, like, if I come to him, like, hey, I'm doing this with the podcast, or he gets recognized with the podcast shirt, or, hey, even our first brand deal, when we're traveling to Orlando, and I was like, hey, like, so I'm going to take a couple days off because I got to go to Orlando with the podcast. And he's like, oh. And I was like, this is how much they're going to pay us. And then he looks at me, and he was like, this is mi hijo. And I was like,
dang.
Here we go, though.
That's dope.
So
that's
dope. It's healing, bro. But it, like I always tell people, your parents are, they can be 50, 60, whatever the case is. They're accustomed to a certain way of living.
Correct.
They weren't taught. And the people that were supposed to teach them never taught them because they also weren't taught.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can blame your parents up to an extent. But emotional intelligence, healing, and learning how to deal with certain emotions has to come with from the people that have the most knowledge about it.
That's
who
right.
gets talked about? That's who right. who sees us every day?
Yep.
We do.
Yep.
We're on our phones.
Yep.
We're talking with so many friends, different people. So in order for your parents to slightly heal, because they may not heal the whole way.
Correct.
It comes from us.
That's right.
So my thing now is I have great conversations with my parents. Mm. I'm like, hey, so we're dealing with this type of depression and we're dealing crazy. With anxiety.
Yeah, yeah.
We're dealing with, like, I know you're mad at this and I'm like, hey, like, we just gotta, it's okay. And even if I know sometimes we're stressed, hey, I love you. Thank you so much for everything you do.
That's good.
You know, so now even just having a beer with my dad, bro, I'll have a beer with him and we start talking about life.
Yeah.
And then we're just like, man, it's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
So.
And we're here because of them at the end of the 100%, day too, bro. Like the things that we have is that they were trying their best. But I've shared this with my viewers and my listeners, bro. I let them know. I said, this is why it's so important to heal, because when you heal, the relationships around you heal, man. Yeah. Your father, your mother, your marriage, your relationship, your kids. I grew up in an environment where it was like, you ain't getting out of that table until you finish all your food.
Yeah.
No vamos a desperdiciar. And it's like nowadays, it's like, you know what? If you're full, get out. Like, you're done. And it's something so dumb like that, but those are the traumatizing things that we're breaking through and we're trying to get better. And you're right. I have those conversations with my mom. With my dad, I'm still kind of working on it, to be honest with you. But with my mom, I definitely say, hey, mom, look, that's trauma right there. I said, you're minimizing the situation because you'd rather just, you think silence means it's going to avoid the problem, but you're just suffocating it to where it's going to blow up. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm hearing you. And I'm just like, okay, like, you got your shit together. Like, you're smart. You know, it seems like you know yourself in the sense of like, oh, if this is making me angry, why is it making me angry? Why am I reacting like this? Yeah. Like, so, I mean, if you don't mind, I mean, you're a catch. Like, what happened in your relationship where you guys are not together anymore?
Honestly, brother, it's I got lost, man. I got infatuated with thinking success meant having everybody around me, meaning going to parties because I had to be around everybody looking like success. And I don't know exactly the quote in Spanish, pero como dicen, sometimes lo que no entiende se pierde, right? If I'm not home and I'm focusing on other things, other people, because I think I had, this is my example, and this is exactly true. I had about 10 people around me at the time thinking these are the people that love me to death, that are supporting me, that will be here when this shit pops off. All those people are not around, right? And the only thing that got left alone was myself. Right. When everything left, it was just me. Right. Me and my thoughts, me and my depression, me, you know, broke. I'm like, wow, like, so this is really it. So everybody I once cared for and put first and took care of and spoiled. I'm like, damn, they're not here.
Mm.
So it at the end of the day for me, it was, I wasn't the partner I needed to be. I wasn't the most loving. I wasn't the most caring. I wasn't the most attentive. And to have a successful relationship, you need to be all that. You could be the best entrepreneur and the best dad, but if you're not a great partner, then how do you expect to find your partner?
100%.
You know, even if for anybody that's, say you're not even dating your kid's mother anymore, you're trying to find someone new, but if you're not fixing you, then there's no way that's ever going to work. Mm-hmm. And
be sustainable.
Yeah, be sustainable, bro. So there's a lot of internal work that needs to be done and had to happen. Mm. But it was just a lot of growing up to do, bro.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Now I don't go a lot of places unless it's with my team or it's worth it for us. I take the breaks that I need to. I don't spoil anybody that's really not there for me. And at the end of the day, it's the only people that deserve to live in the fruits of your labor are the people that seen you before all of this.
Yeah.
You know, all my people that I have and my family, my team, when we had $0, they were still with me. Right. So I always tell, like, to the world, everybody calls me Dusko, Tulsa Life, but to everybody else, I'm still Luis. You know, to my homies, my best friends, my day ones, I'm still Dusko to them. I'm still regular. So when we're out somewhere and they're like, oh, you're a Tulsa Life, to them, they're like, man, what the fuck? And I'm like, yeah, but to them, I'm nobody. Like, I'm just them. Like, I'm just a friend. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So that's what I always love. I don't like going places. Like, yeah, it's cool, the recognition, especially from our followers, our viewers, because they're the ones that changed my life. So I give them that time. But never the, oh, I'm better than anybody.
Yeah.
I clean up to myself. We shake hands for everybody. We open doors for everybody. We let people go first.
Yeah.
I'm just, without this, I'm still me. You know what I mean?
And constantly check that, bro, because pride creeps up before you know it. Like, little by little by little by little, it creeps up. So just saying to you, and I'm sure you do, you're surrounded by your people. Allow your people around you to check you too, just once in a while, because I constantly pray and I say, God, let me know if it's getting up here and bring me back down here. Because same, bro, like I've been around the people that do think they're up here. Mm-hmm. I've been around them, and
horrible.
And it's so ugly. Like, I understand your net worth is quadruple, or not quadruple, like ridiculous, 100 times more than me. But we're humans, bro. Like,
100%.
We're still humans. We were still built to connect, to relate. But I mean, that's beautiful. So, okay. Listening to that you're saying, I don't know if you've ever been asked this question before, but it, like, to me, bro, like, call me a lover, a fighter, or whatever, but it's just what the Lord puts in my heart. Like, is there a chance of like,
yeah, of course, bro. I mean, look, I was a nobody until the person saw something in me.
Yeah.
Gave me the biggest blessing of my life. Kids, made me a father. Anytime they need something, she needs something, she has it. Mm. Yeah, a little back and forth we have, but it's because we're going through changes. But if it's not my team, it's her, it's my kids. The people that get taken care of, it's them, bro. Like, we had our first apartment together. We bought the house together.
Guys, you guys know I'm a one-man show, so we had to come back and reset. But anyways, I might even edit that out right now. But you were sharing about, you know, you guys got your, you know, the apartment, the house.
Yeah. To sum it up, bro, because I know to people that don't know me, it's hard for them to relate. But I always say this. Always spoil the people that believed in you when no one else believed in you, when you didn't even believe in yourself. Always show that love, right? And if someone gives you one of the biggest blessings in the world, which is to make you a father or a mother, you owe them the world. Now, I understand some people don't have the best relationship, but, you know, if you love your kids the way I love my kids, and I'm sure you do, then that's your reason too, right?
You got them.
I have a great mentor, man, a great mentor in my life that just told me, is she a good mom? I was like, yes. Yes. Everything you're saying, yes. Then whatever she says, you take care of her, no matter what. And that's what I do. I don't move for nobody else, bro. Nobody else. I don't make time for nobody else. To the point Like, if people follow me on my social media, I go to dinner by myself. Before I come home, I stop at Victoria Gardens, Yard House, a table for one. I don't want to sit with nobody. Just me. Like, but if my kids are available and she's available, let's go out to eat. Hey, let's go here. Let's go there. So being able to give them experiences is my biggest blessing. That's all I ever wanted.
That's right.
I worked hard day in and day out to get to one point to this. Mm. Now I have it. So the first thing I ever do is, hey, let's go here, and I got this. Let me give all what's, you know, some things are, it is what it is. Like, I want the experience. Like, there's a place in Malibu, and it's right by the water. So you eat either inside or they have, like, tables outside on the sand. Mm-hmm. So we ate there. And it's not our first date was there, and we took the kids this time. And we went crazy for no reason. We got a platter of lobster tails that were, like, ridiculous. And at the end of the day, I was like, fuck, we spent too much on this. But everybody had a good time. She had a couple drinks. I did. The kids had food. Then we went to the pier, and we just enjoyed ourselves. So at the end of the day, for me, it's like I get to give them an experience that I've always wanted.
Yeah.
I didn't want nothing else in the world. Mm. They thought I wanted other things before. Mm. But the one thing was to give my kids, my family, a life-changing event. Because we don't come from entrepreneurship. Mm-mm. You know, yeah, my dad is. But my dad's Mexican. Means he had a 2012 Yukon up until 3 years ago.
Wow.
And that's because we kept telling him, bro, buy a new truck. Buy a new truck. You deserve it. You deserve it.
Yeah.
But he's old school. Mm-hmm. And us, it's like, bro, I want my Lambo. I want the house.
I want
the trips. I want the suite at the hotels. I want everything nice because we deserve that. And other people are like, why are you going to spend that? But why not?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Como dicen, cuando te mueres, no te llevas nada.
That's right.
You know? That's right.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you still go down. You may have a great headstone, but other than that, what do you got? Nothing.
Wow. Wow. Bro, I'm telling you, man, you're hitting a lot of things that I share with my viewers. Thank you. I'm like in awe just because it's like I'm so grateful with God, bro. Like, you're hitting everything on the head. I'm not going to lie to you. When it comes to the whole you taking your family out to dinner, I'm going through it, and I just don't see that yet. Can that happen in the future? I mean, we leave it in God's hands, and we work through that or whatever, but... bro, like, I'm hearing you. Like, are you a spiritual man? Are you not a spiritual man?
God always.
Yeah?
God first.
What religion do you practice? Or is it just, it's not a religion, I just believe in God.
I believe in God, man. I mean, I grew up Catholic, just as every other Hispanic. Did my confirmation, my communion. Ya estoy listo para casarme. If that's the most important thing that people do it for.
He's available. Let's go.
So... But I really, really have found myself in the Christianity.
Okay.
I had one of my dearest friends that took me to a young adult sermon during the week in a Christian church. And just the messages, you know, at the end of the day, for me, it's God, man. I don't lose. Right now, there's so much stress, so much changes, so many things happening. And I always just say, God, if it's for me, just show me. Mm. And if it's not, also show me.
Yeah.
So when things get messed up, at first I'm like, damn, I used to be so mad at it. Like, why is this happening to me? I've done so much. And then I realized, like, man, this just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
You know, it was a redirection in the where I needed to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I was at my lowest, he came for me. And I always tell this analogy to people. When things are wrong, what's the first thing we always do? We ask God to help us. Pray for me. Take care of me. Show me where to go. But then we get to the good position, and what happens? Thank you. I'll see you later. See you next time. And then when we get back to a bad position, here we go again. So my thing is, you're with me when I was down. And when it got good, please don't leave me again. Stay with me. I need you. Direct me, guide me, keep your hand on my shoulder. Wherever I go, it's going to be my first time entering whatever I'm going to enter. Please just lead me in the right decisions. If I mess up, just redirect me. That's all it is.
So good. So good.
So I pray, man. I listen to a lot of spiritual music. I listen to a lot of silence. And at the end of the day, ¿cómo estás? Gracias a Dios. Ando bien.
So good.
Nothing's wrong.
So good. So good. Bro, you're hitting a lot of things that I talk about. I've shared having alone time. Like, I've been in situations where you break up with someone and you quickly want to be with someone else because you don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
But in the alone time is...
You find yourself.
You find something, bro. Yeah. Like, be in the uncomfortable. And I know it's scary. Like you said right now, table for one. Some people that are hearing this are like, that's humiliating. That's embarrassing. You know what? Power. When you're finding healing inside of you, it's not embarrassing. It's not humiliating. It's actually very refreshing. I remember anytime you do anything for the first time, it is going to feel a little weird. It is going to feel whack. I went to the movies by myself. The first times, I was like, this is so weird. Like, I'm so used to, like, at least with my kids, with a girl, something. But now it's like God is building a confidence in me where it's like, no, it's all good. You could be by yourself. You could have dinner by yourself. Yeah. You could go to a baseball game by yourself. Like, you can do a lot of cool things by yourself. And then you start discovering this is who you are. This is what you like to do. And you're no longer being in a codependent relationship with your spouse, with your girlfriend, with your children, because people can hide behind their kids.
Yeah, there's a quote, just to touch upon what you're saying for everybody that's listening. It said, if you're alone and in bad company, something needs to change. Mm. That means if you're alone and you're not loving your own company, your own self, something in you really needs to change.
Man,
so I love good. Who I am when I'm by myself.
Wow.
And it's sometimes a red flag to a lot of people because you learn that you love your own company. You don't want to be around a lot of people. But I literally had to look myself in the mirror and be like, am I proud of the person in front of it? No. What do I got to do to change it? You know? And now I enjoy being alone, but I love being with everybody. So I have my moments where I'm with everybody on my team. But then I come home and I'm like, okay, I need to sit down. I need to relax. Reassess certain things in my life and my personal self.
Love it.
But I tell people, if you don't learn how to be alone, then every time somebody leaves your life, you end up in the back in the same position. You're heartbroken. You're lost. It's people that were in relationships for 10 years or 6 or 5 and they're broken up. What happens? I don't know who I am. Yeah, because you depended yourself on that person.
That's right.
So when they left you, you're left with nothing because you lost who you are. Mm-hmm. So it's so important for you to have your identity, the people around you to have their own, because when that happens, the only person that's going to come and save you is you. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough lesson for a lot of people.
It is.
Because when you're alone, the silence speaks loud. And at first I was so afraid of it, and a lot of people are still afraid of it. But now it's like, hey, the more you run from your demons, the more they catch up.
Yeah.
You know, they get faster. You know, you try to drink your demons away, drown them. I used to do that. What happened? They learn how to swim. They're still there. Woke up. Now I'm hungover, hurting. Yeah, my problems are still there. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's not helping.
Yeah.
But I'm going to forget it for a little bit. Or you go out, you spend money with fake people. Yeah, it's cool. And then you get home. And what happens? You're drunk in your thoughts, in your feelings. And now you're 10 times worse.
Yep. I tell people all the time, I tell my viewers, my listeners, you can distract yourself all you want, but at the end of the night or at the end of the morning, whatever time you come home, you still got to put your head in that pillow. And when you put that head in the pillow, that's when you start thinking, is this the life that I really wanted? Is this where I'm at? Why do I still feel lonely? You could be in a room full of 30 people and still feel very lonely.
Yeah.
Or we in the world that we live in too, it's we're in fantasy land where stuff, things, materials. I mean, I know people, my pastor shared this once. I know people so poor that all they have is money. Mm. And it's just like material things are cool.
Yeah.
And they're nice. Work for them, hustle. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't let them become your God, because when they do, and they take them away, you find yourself in a very difficult spot.
100%.
Luis, you have a solid head on your shoulders, bro. You seem like a walking Jesus, man. but I know life. I know life's not perfect. Mm-hmm. What's a lesson that like has hit you really hard that took tears out of you that was a blow to the gut for you that you're like, damn, like this is what kind of started making me say I want to turn my life around.
Everybody you love is not here forever. Mm. They're here for a moment, just like we are.
Wow. It's crazy how we take that for granted.
Yeah, man. Simply hugging your loved ones, telling them I love you, spending time with them. Yeah, that was my hard lesson, was feeling like I was untouchable. Life was great. And then that blow comes in and you lose somebody so dear to you, friend, a grandpa, whatever the case is, whoever, if you lost somebody, but then now you're dealing with living without them. So you're going through all your emotions of the healing stage. You know what I mean? So that to me was a hard lesson, is understanding that everybody you love or everything you once loved is only here for a moment. Mm. It could be long, it could be short, it can be whatever God has it to be.
Wow.
You know, so yeah. That was my hard lesson, and I understand that greatly right now.
Yeah. You know, as you're saying that, though, like, I just, again, I'm a spiritual man. I go to church on a consistent basis. I try. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm saying, like, I try. But, like, this flesh that we're in, bro, like you're saying something that, like, we can all say, yeah, of course, you got to value your loved ones because you just never know. But, man, we are built of, like, self-destructs. Like, we can have a good thing and just mess it up. Mm-hmm. And we can, like, think, like I was talking to one of my cousins in the last season, and I told him, I said, bro, like, he lost his mom when he was 19. And that was my aunt. She was, like, my second mom. And I told him, I said, man, you know, one thing I miss is her gorditas. Like, I forgot that, like, when someone passes, like, you're also not going to taste their food ever again. And yeah. One time I was hanging out at my mom's house, and I love caldo de pollo. My mom made caldo de pollo, and I was eating it, and I felt like God put the thought in my head, there's going to be a day where you don't eat this anymore. Yeah. And for me, that hit. And I'm just like, God, don't take her, like, anytime soon. Like, I still need her. Yeah. But I'm like, there will be a day where I don't... Like, other people could try to make it, but it's just not going to be mom's.
No, never.
And... But we forget those things, bro. Yeah. And I got viewers and listeners that I keep telling them, mend your relationships. You mentioned earlier with your pops. Like, ¿cuántas veces con los gritos se arreglaron las cosas? Never.
Yeah.
But when you finally just said, you know what, dude?
Yeah.
And it's hard, at least for me it is, to say sorry. Like, you push it down, you push your pride down, and finally you say, you know what, I'm just sorry. That shifts something.
Yeah. I always tell people, for every action you make, there's a repercussion, good or bad. So if I'm going to stop talking to you, I should know for a fact that whatever happens after, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, fuck, man, I should have been there. No, I made my decision to be out of your life when I did it. A lot of people in my life are the ones I care about. The people that are not in it, I'm sorry. There's a reason why you're not in my life anymore. Unfortunately, I don't wish anything upon them. Like, que te vaya bien o que te vaya mal. That's not up to me anymore. That's up to you, whatever power it is. But to me, it's, if, like, my mom told me once, because there was a childhood friend that passed away, and we didn't talk for, this was like maybe like 10 years, passed away, unfortunately, but we grew up together. He didn't like me because of a girl at that time, whatever the case is. We never talked ever.
Because of a girl.
So that happened, and I felt, you know, I felt not sad, but I'm like, damn, bro, like, el pésame para su familia. Like, his parents are 100%. Good people. His family's good people. And then my mom was like, nunca llores lágrimas de cocodrilo. Mm. I'm driving, what do you mean? She's like, you ever seen a crocodile cry? Like, no, exactly. Don't. So I'm like, okay. So I always, as funny as it sounds, like the day God calls me up, there's a sign-in sheet. I know who's coming. There's only a certain invitation. Like, as funny as it sounds, bro, if I haven't talked to you in 1 year, max a year, there's no way you're coming. There is no way you're coming to me, bro. Like, because like you said, you can mend relationships ASAP. There's a phone. It works both ways. But if the relationship is not something you really care about, then why sit there and pretend like you actually care about it?
Yeah, 100%.
You maybe missed the way I was with you or my friendship with you, but that didn't stop you from ruining it or hurting me or disrespecting me, whatever the case is.
So good.
So for me, it's, if you're in my life, great. I'm going to love you. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make your life better without anything in return that I don't need. You're going to do it out of your own love and heart. But the moment you disrespect me, lose my number.
Wow.
I'll tell you right now, bro, I've cut off certain best friend, bro, and has tried to reach out like months later, everything. I don't answer. I do not care.
Mm. Do you think that's a pride thing, though? Or
for me, it's my self-respect. Mm. I let you in the most dearest place in my life. Mm. I had you next to me at my house, my family. I loved you like my brother I never had.
Setting boundaries. I love
so
that.
So if I, ¿cómo esa frase? See, if someone hurts you, it's, and you let them back in your life, it's like giving them the second bullet to kill you.
Yeah.
What stopped you in the first time?
Like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah. So from there, if you disrespected me and hurt me, how do I expect you to not do it again? Mm. You're probably going to do it again, but you're probably going to do it a little bit better so I don't see it or get caught. Mm. So if I lose trust in you, then I'm like, no, because you have to understand, we're human. If you don't trust somebody, every time you turn around, you're going to be with the fuck. I hope they don't fuck up.
Yeah.
But in your head, you know they're going to fuck up.
Yeah.
You're just waiting for the time for them to fuck up so you to cut them off again. But these people, and I'm not saying like anybody specific, but our generation or our time right now, people sit at the dining table with snakes.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And they ask, oh, well, my life isn't going good. Look at who you're sitting with. Mm. Look who's around you.
Yeah.
Look who's making you feel better for trying to choose yourself.
Wow.
Right? You're depressed. Why would I invite you drinking and get you drunk? Why don't we do something better?
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about God? Why don't we go to the gym? Why don't we just hang out and not do anything?
Correct.
Why do I put you in a situation where you may lose your life?
Or find out what you really like and let's go do that or whatever. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, so Who is really around you that cares about you and is willing to speak great things about yourself and your character when you're not around?
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Bro, okay. I mean, I sound like a broken record, but it's the truth. It's the reason why I wanted to bring you on board, because I felt that your podcast, I love the connection. It's weird. Like, I used to come out on a reality show with my ex-wife and her family, and people would like run up to us and say, like, it's like, I know you, but I know you don't know me. And I would always be like, I don't get it. I don't understand. But now I understand, because now I'm kind of doing it to you where it's like you're sharing things that I'm like, it's like, I know you, but I know you don't know me. But it's
a reflection, bro.
It's really dope that you have allowed God to move in your heart, open up your mind, understand the situation that you're in, like trying to balance your life with everything. Mm-hmm. So I want to bring it a little bit more on when it comes to your podcast.
Yeah.
First of all, a toast to life.
Yes, sir.
Where did this name originate from?
I love drinking, bro.
What's your drink? What's your poison?
Right now, tequila soda, man. I'm cheap, and I want to get to the point. Either Casamigos or Don Julio Blanco. Okay. Something simple.
Okay.
But if it's...
Have you ever tried a tequila called Mandala?
Mandala, yes. Actually, in one of the last podcast that we did, my best friend, he brought it.
Okay.
It was pretty good.
Okay, yeah. Then I seen the prize, and I was interviewed like, one of the owners for my on my podcast, and dude, I mean, I've gone with him to taste some of his stuff. Amazing, amazing stuff.
So you tried the tequila pura?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Shit's gasoline, yeah, bro. But yeah. I was like, this is dope. So we started off in an apartment when I... 3-4 years ago, and I figured out what is the only way at that moment that men talk about feelings. When are we with our homies and we just start talking about no, está bien duro esta cosa.
Yeah, sounds a little familiar, huh, guys? Yeah,
when
yeah.
we're drunk, when we're drinking.
Oh well, not with me.
So for me, and just the way I grew up, the people I was always around, and the conversation I was having, it was funny because this happened maybe 3-4 weeks earlier with one of my dear, dear friends, bro. And he was at the apartment with this lady. It was him, her, my girl, myself. And we stayed up till like 3 a.m, bro. And this is a dude that never cries. I've only seen this man cry 3 times in my life. And I could tell you all 3 he ever did. And we stayed there. We drank tequila. He drank his bourbon to 3-4 a.m. And he shared with me some stuff. And I was like, damn, bro, thank you for sharing that with me. And then woke up the next morning, and I was like, I wish I could replay that conversation because I know it's going to help somebody. So I was like, I got to find something that I can live by, that I can say it proudly, and that's catchy with people. And when they say it, you know, either it just resonates a way of living, right? When everybody does cheers, what is it? Because they're celebrating something. A toast is just a little bit fancier, but it's like a toast to life, man. Like, whatever life is going throwing at us, a toast to life.
I love it.
And that's how it came about. It's just I wanted to have great conversations with my guys to help one another, and hopefully this conversation helps 5 people, one person. It doesn't matter to me.
Beautiful.
And shit, 4 years later.
Here we are.
It's a movement, man.
Blowing up.
It's a movement, man. It's a way of life. Toast to life is not, like, I'm known for a toast to life. But I would say, it's not me. It's my team. It's the movement itself, right? It's bigger than the brand. We're bigger than the brand already. Like, a toast to life, it's Jack, Pepe, Jose, Joe, our 33 Ave manager, and everybody that follows us, man.
Beautiful.
You know, it's
love it.
It's life-changing. Yeah. And
I say it with all respect, bro. Your goals for me, that's what I keep telling my fans. My fans, my viewers, my listeners, I keep letting them know, you know, keep supporting, keep sharing all this stuff, right? But that's the goal, that this is something that could be sustainable, because I want to be present for my kids, bro.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back to a 9-to-5. Can I? Absolutely. Am I ashamed of it? Not at all. I have no problem getting back in the work industry. I want to be there, bro. Like, I want to be there for my kids. So it's something that I just keep praying to God. I keep asking God to show up for me. And I believe it. I believe we're going to get there little by little, especially with the turbulence that I've been going through. I wanted to almost throw in the towel. But even in that, God told me, you're going to start season 4 or 5. I'm sorry. And I'm like, no, I'm broken. And God's like, nope. Even in the pain, even in the broke, you're going to keep recording. Yep. Kept recording, bro. We're going to keep pushing. And God willing, you guys are goals, bro.
I started the podcast the same month I lost my grandpa.
Wow.
I moved to LA. The podcast moved to LA a month in the same month I lost my best friend. I never stopped. Because if I stop, what am I doing to them? What am I living for? I have an opportunity. I have a blessing. What's the worst that could happen? Everybody that follows me, and even on this last podcast, I always say this. If you're in the worst place of your life right now, right, you're dead. You're broke. You're broken. There is nothing. This can't get any worse. No more.
Mm-hmm.
If you try something and you fail, where do you end up?
Like, what's the worst?
You end up back in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
But if you try and it catches, well, now it's going to get a little bit better.
Yep.
So, you know, God can bless you, but if you're not doing your work, there's no way that blessing sticks.
Yep.
You know,
faith with no action is dead. You need to move.
Yes.
If there's no action to faith, bro.
Yes. Mm-mm. It's everybody has a gift, bro. Everybody.
That's right.
But just not everybody's willing to do what the work that's needed in order to showcase it.
So whoever's listening, and this is also for me, and I've shared it in the past, do not allow fear to hold you back. 100%. The Mac Effect was held back for 5 years because of fear. Now that I'm living, I look back and I'm like, how dumb. I could have been doing this a long time ago, but it's okay too. Like, I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm just going to understand, hey, I needed to go through a healing. I needed to go through a process, but we're here now. So for the viewers, for the listeners, guys, and you're feeling a tug, that's the Holy Spirit in my heart. I believe that's the Holy Spirit trying to let you guys know, do not let fear hold you back. Yes, because right what you said when you were saying it, I'm like, I know where he's going with this. It's like, how much lower can you get when you're already there?
Yep.
So try something. Do something. Push something. So I appreciate it. That's dope.
You're going to thank yourself in 6 months, man. Lock in. You're going to lose sleep. You might lose your mental every now and then. But, I mean, if you're not willing to do the work, then how do you expect to have the result?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I always say there's shows bigger than us. There is people more established than us, but no one outworks me. Nobody. Mm. I'm willing to do what I need to do in order to get it. So, you know, it's came with just work, man. It's a work blessing and being just taking a chance on something that it's not a for sure, but hopefully I get it.
All right.
And we did it.
So I want to eventually in the future show you the clip, like 2 years, 3 years, 5 years from now. Where does Luis see himself in 2 years, 3 years, with either a toast to life or in life in general?
Man. Happy. 2 or 3 years. Proud. Mm. Proud of everything that has happened. I'm at it right now. I'm good. But, man, I'm still trying to figure this out. So I know in 2 or 3 years, with the grace of God and a good head on my shoulders, good team, I'm gonna be able to feel proud of everything.
Mm, I love it. I love it. And catch this, guys. See, when you're healing, notice. He didn't say double my followers. He didn't say triple my income. He didn't say a Lambo in the driveway. He said happy. He said proud. And Luis, again, we've never met before in the past. We hadn't talked. And I don't even know how much this matters to you, but it's in my heart, bro. Like, I'm proud of you, man.
I appreciate that.
Like, I'm really proud of, like, yeah, your podcast is cool, but I'm more proud of the work that you've put in, Luis. You are still paying prices till today, and your little ones aren't going to pay that price because dad took that pain.
Yeah, I
appreciate that. Your son is going to know how to value himself because dad took the time to learn to value himself. And you can say, well, it sucks that I learned it at such a late age. Well, your little one's going to learn it way before you did, and you're going to save them that pain.
Yeah, totally agree. I know that comes from somewhere where we know we had to hear it ourselves.
Yep.
So I know where you're saying it is coming from somewhere too.
Yep.
So I appreciate you. I appreciate for even saying that.
Yep. Well, Luis, more than anything, I mean, I've already had you for a little bit over 50 minutes, an hour or so. It's just when the conversation flows, the conversation flows, and I really appreciate that. Anything that maybe I didn't cover or a question or something that you're like, I just love talking about this topic that you're like, that you would want to share?
No, I think the conversation was very well managed, man. That I've loved that about someone that comes prepared because, again, when you're interviewing people, I know how hard it is.
Yeah.
You know, I know it. Sometimes it's scary as shit, too. So, no, man, I think we hit... The conversation took place the way it needed to, and it's going to help and reach the people that it needs to.
That's right.
That, I mean, if we can podcast for 3-4 hours, we probably can.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we know our audience. We know what we need to deliver. And it keeps these, the people that listen on a little cliffhanger. Like,
yeah,
you know, hopefully listen to the next one and you're going to hear more.
Yeah.
Or, that's right. Like, when we have guests, go follow them and now follow their journey. And hopefully you learn something from them too.
Absolutely.
But no, man, I think this conversation was very well. I mean, I talked about my team. Beautiful. Talked about the beginnings, my person, my family.
Love it.
I mean, I'm just, you know, I may look old, but I'm only 29 still. So,
bro,
it's just a lack of sleep. I promise you. I do better when I only sleep 4 hours. If I sleep 8 hours, it's horrible. And nomás, I think if I could leave anybody with something is, don't fall with the illusion of social media that being around a lot of people means you happiness. Mm. Being in every single place and leaving your responsibilities create success.
Yeah.
Love I it. Know some of the most biggest influencers, quote unquote, you can say, or most trending, yet they're the most broken.
Yeah.
Not just spiritually, but also money. And you can fake it till you make it, I promise you, but under the when people meet you and under the lights, like, you cannot hide from everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's just one thing that we learned and we've always stuck by it, that we're not going to sell this facade of success that we don't have. It's just hard work. We showcase what we have when we have it. And we, you know, we stay true to ourselves.
That's right.
That's how we stayed longer.
Which is something that I constantly share with my listeners, with the viewers. I let them know, guys, seek the healing. I dare you guys to seek the healing. And it's not because I purposely want you guys to go through pain and suffering, because you're going to have to look at the ugly. You're going to have to look at yourself. You're going to have to stop blaming everyone else around you. You got to start taking ownership. When I asked them, like, why the relationship failed, he didn't say her. And everyone, when you're hurt, it's her, her, him, this. He said, I was this. I was that. And when you go through that, again, you heal internally, and then it blesses those relationships around you. So I ask you guys, please, I urge you, reach out. I can provide you with my therapist. I mean, you guys already know I constantly share them with you guys. I'll have Luis's information there too. So if you guys have any questions for him that maybe I skipped, go ahead and comment, ask, reach out to us so that we can get back to you guys. But other than that, I mean, I'm honored, bro. I'm really honored. Thank you for coming onto the podcast. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. So with that being said, guys, the Mac Effect says we're out. So peace. We'll see you guys next time.